Welcome back to the program. Back in the 1960s, protest was de rigueur. The anti-war movement, the struggle for civil rights, were front and center in the nation's consciousness. During that period, many institutions sprung up to give voice to hope and to the causes of the day. Today, 50 years later, most of those organizations are gone, or at best, a distant, nostalgic memory of days gone by. However, one institution remains right here in the Bay Area, Glide Memorial Church. When Cecil Williams came to Glide, it had 35 congregants in the heart of San Francisco's Tenderloin. Today, 50 years later, it remains a beacon of hope for the poor, the marginalized, and the community. How did this church, under the leadership of Cecil Williams and Janice Mirakatani, remain relevant to the times, in fact, ahead of its time? What does it tell us about hope, faith, and social justice? Now, Cecil Williams and Janice Mirakatani tell their story in their memoir of radical change, Beyond the Possible. It is my pleasure to welcome Cecil and Janice here to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
Thank you. It's good joining you.
Great to have you here. Cecil, one of the things that you've talked about and that really runs through all of Beyond the Possible is this idea that so much is about running to things, running away from things. Talk a little bit about how you have maintained the energy to continue doing that for 50 years.
I think the thing that has occurred, without any doubt, is what we have done is stayed close to our mission, stayed close to that which we began, and that was mainly staying close to the poor, making sure that whatever occurred in events, no matter what they were, civil rights, human rights, whatever rights, stay close to your mission, and this was our mission, to make sure that the homeless and the poor were empowered. And so we've worked at that, and we've stayed close to that. And Janice and I have felt very strongly that as long as we are in that direction, making that commitment, we would of course, make sure that what we have done is pull things off for people who really are confronted with the issues of urban America, but of America as well. Hunger and poor people are close to our hearts and our courage and our direction. There's no doubt about that.
The mission is really about alleviating suffering and transforming lives. And I think what keeps me alive and going and inspired, in fact, is that we have to change every day because we see people's lives changing every day. And they're the inspirational stories that of hope and change and possibility that make me want to continue and create anew. And every day we're creating with people. And I think that's the kind of energy that it requires to keep an organization vital, is that you stay close to the people's needs. And they create with you. Because we believe that they have the power, and we want them to believe they have the power to change their lives.
Cecil, what about the suffering that Janice talks about, the pain, and seeing people go through this over and over again? What about that darkness?
Yes, you know, one of the things that occurs is that people want to do things, people need to do things that mean something to them. That means something to where they would like to go. People have a great need to not just be where they are, mainly poor, mainly strung out, mainly alienated, mainly desperate. People want to be humanized. People want to feel like that they are accomplishing and that they are making things happen. But society does not provide that. By any means, people have to keep going through the most desperate and situations, and that merely means that, to a great extent, what they look at and what they have to face is desperation and is an issue that they must find some way somehow to come out of that hole, to come out of that darkness, and if they can, then it means that something is there called hope, and hope is not always there.
I will say that we enjoy about 20,000 volunteers a year, And we it's really a very loving community of people. People want to help others. People want to make a difference in people's lives. And I think what's been created at GLIDE is a beloved community. Really, I mean, Dr. King talks about a beloved community, and I think Cecil and his work, not only with spirituality and the celebrations on Sunday, but also my participating and building all of these different comprehensive programs, have provided opportunities for people to see a way in which, even though they will, maybe there are those who are chronically homeless, there are those who are mentally ill, there are those who will not be able to get by and perhaps change their lives. But it doesn't mean that we can't alleviate their suffering by providing a loving and accepting and compassionate place where they feel a part of they feel a part of community. I think community makes all the difference.
Janet, and what we stay close to, of course, which we, you and I, and others help to do, are two things that are critical. Unconditional love and unconditional
acceptance.
Yeah, those two things are critical and very important. And if we can continue to do unconditional love and unconditional acceptance, that is really, really radical to make sure that we stay close to those two issues.
How much more difficult has it been as we've seen an increase in mental illness and an increase in violence in parts of this community?
Well, it's, you know, what I think, my view about violence is that I think women turn anger and hatred against themselves, and they turn what they perceive as unacceptable against themselves. And men, I mean, I don't mean to make generalizations, excuse me, but a lot of times the men will turn their anger outwards. And I think what we try to do is to help both men and women look at themselves, number one, because you have to change yourself. Nobody else can change you. And look at the causal sources of that anger and what causes you to act it out against other people. And so we have a Men in Progress program where men look at their violent behavior and change it and go into recovery around it, whereas women look at their behaviors and have to say, yes, I'm worthy of better than this. I think people telling their stories, being heard, is one way in which we have tried to look at violence and some of the causal reasons. We want to try and go deeper. But I do think we live in a society of haves and have-nots. And I think that inequality creates a great deal of despair and a great deal of anger.
Jen, in other words, it's important for us to have what we call a corrective force, to be corrective, to make sure that, and I can speak to this very much so, you know, when it comes to having fame, not fortune, but fame. Anyway, to have fame going for you. And the first thing you know, what you thought you were doing to make things happen were those things sometimes where you went awry, where you didn't, where you lost it, where you lost the mission that you were about. And what we have to do, what I have to do, is make sure that as one of the persons at GLIDE who's helping to make the decisions to empower people, that I'm not out just for empowering myself, but that I stay close to what we really are about, and that is to help people help themselves so that people can be strong and courageous, and that they will, of course, hopefully, make it one of these days, and they can stand up and say, look where I am, look what I'm doing, here I am, and I finally found myself, and I'm in a direction where I now will not impose on people, but receive people, accept people, and become a part of the beloved community.
You know, when you talk about fame, Cecil, it reminds me of the story that Janice tells about meeting you for the first time, and you were very concerned that she didn't know who you were.
Yes, very much so.
Well, they had to widen the doors, not just for his afro, but when I asked the staff, who's the guy with the ego, and they said, oh, you met Cecil. And we were partners and co-creators, and we'd worked together as co-workers for 15 years before we got married. In fact, Cecil married me and my first husband, which is kind of a funny story. But You know, I think the corrective voices that Cecil talks about is very, very important. And I think part of that is because we encourage storytelling from the people. And in their stories, we are able to see ourselves. And in their stories, we're able to remain or to look at our own humility and to allow those voices to have their own authenticity and to be able to affirm them, no matter what our differences and no matter what we may agree or disagree about. I think diversity is the key to diversity and maintaining diversity in the community. And the diversity is what causes us to, I believe, become more humanized. You know, we have Muslims, we have Buddhists, we have Catholics, we have Jewish people, we have all Christians, we have all faiths, atheists, Wiccans, all faiths who are part of the Sunday celebrations and who are part of the beloved community. And we do accept each other's differences. In fact, we seek it because we think it really does broaden our own humanity.
Cecil, we were joking about it a few moments ago, but talk a little bit about the need to in this celebrity culture that we live in today, to in so many respects be larger than life, to really personify Glide, the work that it's doing, to make Glide stand out in order to access the resources that you need, but at the same time staying humble and true to the diversity that Janice is talking about.
And it's not easy to stay humble. There's no doubt about it.
Amen.
What do you say, Janice?
I'm one of his corrective voices.
It's not easy.
It's called nagging.
It's not easy because, you know, what you people say, keep up the good work. People will say, you know, you're really doing a great job. People will say, you know, we really want you to know that we're with you. Well, you take all of those sorts of things and the comments and the compliments that will come, and you say to yourself, boy, I'm really pulling it off at this time. You know, we're really moving and we're really doing certain things, and we are. And the thing that we found out, that we were ahead of our time. You know, and when you get ahead of your time, you can often find yourself engaging in acts and events that you say to yourself, my God, these folks are still behind, and they're not doing what they should be doing. And the first thing you do is you become inflated. No, I said, yeah, inflated. Also, you become you are something that you're not. So rather than get in that kind of mode, rather than find myself and Glide, being boastful about who we are, what is critical, it seems to me, is to love. Love is the most gracious and yet courageous act that people can engage in. Unconditional love, when it's really conveyed and acted out and really helped, it can really help people come to grips with things that they never thought that they could do. So love is the key. I think the kind of love that makes people more human rather than more anything else. Humanity is at the crux of what we do and how we do it.
And I think the reason why Cecil is great, I mean, I'm a little prejudiced, but I think he is great because he is sincerely and truly loving. And he is, I mean, what you see is what you get. He is a genuinely loving individual. And the people in the street, no matter what condition they're in, no matter what their mental state, no matter how emotionally disturbed they might be, can feel his love and acceptance. And I think people I think love is key. I never felt lovable. And when I first started working at Glide, I didn't want to get close to a church because I didn't feel accepted by my church when I was growing up. And when I met Cecil, I mean, he really, really helped me to believe in myself. And I think people need that. People need to know that they're seen, that they matter, and that they're cared for.
Jen, that's well put. And you have really just not only grown, but you have made sure that what you do at Glide and what you do as we work together and as we live together and as we find ourselves trying to be challenged by so many things, you have been, there's no doubt, like the Rock of Gibraltar. You've held your own. You've cared for people. You've strengthened people's lives. You have taken the torch, and you have made a situation by which we are finding ourselves hopefully equal and mutual and loving. And that's one reason why we also continue, is because of your commitment and
your action. Thank you. I've had to really learn how to become responsible for myself.
Yeah.
And I think as a survivor myself of childhood abuse, that's what we have to learn to do. We can no longer be victims. We have to take responsibility for changing our lives and changing the way we feel about ourselves to become present at the table. And that's why women and children's programs, health programs have been so important to me at GLIDE. And we have, I think, a great, great clinic and recovery program.
Could GLIDE serve as a model for other social justice programs within churches around the country, or is GLIDE unique to itself, unique to its community in San Francisco, Cecil?
I think it's been unique to itself and unique in its location and unique in what we've done and what we will do. There is a kind of force that we have that says to us, if you don't do it, who's going to do it? There's a kind of force that says, don't worry about the philosophical stuff. Don't worry about your theology stuff. Don't put yourself always in an awkward position where you're much more concerned about what's on paper but what's in the lives of people. And so to open up our hearts and our minds and our souls, to find ourselves every day trying to be not only being challenged, but finding ourselves seeing people as they are rather than as we would like for them to be, is key to how we do what we are engaged in.
Well, you know, Cecil is the guy who acts, right? And he's sort of the airplane that takes off. He does take people with him, but there are people who also have to create the runway. And I think I'm the one who pulls back a little bit and says, wait a minute, we need structure, we need to raise money, we need to do this, we need to create an infrastructure, we need staff to manage all of these programs, and we have a fabulous staff of 175 people. But the vision that Cecil has created is something that is quite unique, and we have people who work at GLIDE for less money because they believe in what we do and our values. But I do think, Cecil, that we are a model, and I think that other churches could do more, and they've invited us to find out how they can create food programs, because we feed 1 million people now a year.
Yeah.
But how to create recovery programs and how they can reach out to the community for more diversity. And the clinic that we have created, or with in partnership with Dignity Health and the University of California School of Nursing and St. Francis Hospital, is pretty unique. But I think it can be modeled throughout the country, and now with Obamacare, it's going to be needed more than ever throughout every city in America.
That's right.
Is there a greater nihilism today, Cecil, about how difficult life is and people looking for quicker answers than perhaps they did years ago?
Yes.
When texting and technology doesn't help.
That's right. It's not easy at this point to put the scores up and say, look what takes place. Because, you see, all of us would like to get answers, quick answers, easy answers, any kind of answers. And people sometimes get caught up in a role or a kind of direction that gives people, of course, easy answers in what they do. And, in fact, many people get hung up and get caught and get destroyed, and many times get hurt and get inflamed, and find themselves going through ordeals that they should not have to go through. The easy answers sometimes are not the answers.
Okay.
Even the hard answers may not be as critical as they could be and should be.
I think people need to live more in the questions.
Mainly what, huh?
They need to live more in the questions. And I think that technology is great, but I also think that it's creating a divide that's going to be getting bigger and bigger, and that is between the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah.
So we are seeing a great digital divide where people are being left far behind because it's so fast. And communications and skills and, you know, my grandson knows far more than I do about, you know, the iPhones and the iPads and all of that stuff and the technology. He's teaching me. So it's a very fast age.
Yeah, and we must be very careful about it, too. Very careful, because it could mislead us.
And we don't want to lose our hearts. We don't want to lose our hearts.
That's right.
Where does the spiritual side fit into this? I mean, certainly when you took over the church, Cecil, one of the first things you did was take the cross down. And Janice, you certainly had a very jaundiced attitude about religion at the beginning. Where
yes.
does spirituality fit into the equation today?
Yeah, that hasn't been easy at all. The cross came down because what I discerned and what Jan discerned was that the cross took away that which we had committed ourselves to. The cross was for death, not for life.
Right.
And what we were concerned about was life. And so therefore, what we were doing and what we were engaging in was that which emerged as life situations, situations by which we could embrace, where suffering had taken away that which we felt very strongly should be there. We wanted to make also our acts known that that we must take the suffering to the people where the people lived and where they worked and what they were doing in time after time after time each day. But the cross meant something that was unbearable, and here we were, taking the cross, keeping it up above the people when we should have had the people in the midst of the people. And so therefore it worked a great deal to take the cross down, because then we had the space and commitment to do whatever we needed to do in regards to the sanctuary.
Spirituality is experienced, at least for myself, by lifting up people and by seeing yourself in the lives of others. And that's what, and the cross has always been a symbol to me of judgment and punishment and despair. I mean, it has always been, you know, sacrifice. And as a woman, I've always lived in the shadow of somebody, and including the brilliant light of Cecil Williams. But that's, again, you know, not a complaint. It is simply to say that I think women have been second class. I think people of color have been second class in many ways, in very subtle as well as overt messages. And the cross has always been, for me, a symbol of judgment. And at GLIDE, we say we don't judge you. We accept you for who you are. And that, to me, is a spiritual act. For me to experience being accepted for who I am and loved even for who I am was an extremely transformational experience for me. And I think that that is true for a lot of people who feel rejected and marginalized.
Well, it's very interesting, Jan, that a lot of people who left the church because they felt like it was not relevant to their
situations. They felt rejected because they were sinful, because they were gay, or because
right.
they were whatever. But, yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's all right.
You're used to it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Beyond the $17 million a year budget for GLIDE, what are the biggest challenges that you see upcoming for GLIDE?
Well, the biggest challenge is, it seems to me, is to stay close to the poor. The biggest challenge is to stay close to that which we have committed ourselves. The biggest challenge is to make sure that we are ahead of our time. The biggest challenge for us is to reach out, always reach out. Stop reaching in so much that we find ourselves doing acts that would destroy what we are doing and what we have done. It's time for us to make sure that the world is understood in a way by which things in the world can be looked at, and we can bring a new humanity and a new community to people and a beloved community to people. Our challenge is to love each other, to have a beloved situation and a beloved community, and that's what we will do. It's a great challenge, but we will continue to try to make sure that that challenge is realized.
Cecil Williams, Janice Mirakatani, their book is Beyond the Possible. Cecil, Janice, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it.